publicized on social media. Park District personnel are creating lessons and programs for kids and adults and posting those programs on social media. The public may follow Urbana Park District on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and on urbanaparks.org for the latest planning information.
So you're listening to See You at the Show on WEFT, and I'm Linda Evans, and I'm here with Eric Schacht, and we are going to let you know of the few things that are going on theater-related in Champaign, Urbana, and surrounding areas, but most of our focus today is going to be a rerun of our show 2 weeks ago by Latrell Bright that was so popular that we decided that we needed to air it again. So before we get to Latrell's segment, we have just a few things that are going around town. The first thing is Class Act is doing a free Fridays and for the next four Fridays. And it's for two different age groups and they're Friday mornings. And instead of paying for the classes, and they're virtual classes, of course, they're asking that you donate to Buy Black Champaign, which is a group in town that's been around for a while, but it's become more in people's dialogue because it's about entrepreneurs and business owners in Champaign-Urbana who are Black. So we're trying to support them as much as possible. And what else do we have going on, Eric?
Yeah, well, all of the Class Act online virtual summer stuff is on their website, classactchampaign.com. But we also are able to actually start talking about real theater starting to open up again. I wasn't expecting to be able to do that so quickly. And we have one theater that is, or one company that's brave enough to, or crazy enough to do it. Which is the East Light Theater in Peoria. They held auditions back at the beginning of the month and they've cast their show Something Rotten, which is an outstanding musical. There are people involved in the musical from the Champaign-Urbana theater community, some veterans of our stages who will be performing there. We're trying to get some of the actors or the producer or the director to come on our show and talk to us. How are they doing the rehearsals? How are they going to like have a live audience for a musical in just 6 weeks? So this show is set to open on July 31st and run for 2 weeks, so stay tuned. Hopefully when we return to some regular programming, we'll have some more information about that.
And there's an open house for DLO's Backstage. DLO Musical Theater is located in Danville, and they're having an open house June 27th from 2 to 5 p.m. They've been around for 65 years and are just now getting a dedicated space that they bought, and they would like people to come see it. It needs lots of work, and I think they want community support. And so that's what's going on in Danville.
And on the other side of Champaign County, over in Decatur, we have the first kind of season released by Decatur's Community Theater, Theater 7. They have announced a three-show series for 2021. Noises Off in October, Nana's Naughty Knickers in February, and Something Rotten in April. And as exciting as it is to see shows coming to the stage again soon, we talked about this and it was a little disappointing to see which three they are coming out with.
Yeah, I think that I'm hoping at least the Station Theater and hopefully other theater groups in town will maybe come out with their season openings being written by Black playwrights or something along that vein. That would be wonderful to see more. We've personally been reading some plays by Black playwrights. There's so many great ones out there and educating ourselves, and I'm hoping other people are too. There's also a list of Black playwrights that are also LGBTQ. And since it's Pride Month, that's kind of a cool list to go through too. So
we are going to be turning our attention back to the issue of race in the community and the absence of Black voices and what we need to do to better involve the Black perspective and experience in our theater community and our theater experiences. The last 2 weeks, we have asked Black actors, directors to come on our show, take our show over. We're going to replay Latrell Bright, a fellow station board member with us, and somebody who's directed wonderful shows recently, Men in Boats at the Station, Elephant's Graveyard at Parkland, and it is our most viewed show on Radio America, and it's been replayed more than any other show in our archive on WFT.org. So we are going to bring that to you again in its entirety. And then last week we had Jalen Hope come on, another actor and director, the director most recently of Learning to Drive. And she had some very powerful words to say as well, which you can find in our archives. And Linda, you're going to tell us, remind us how she closed her segment, because she did it so beautifully.
Some of what she left us with last week, and it was so touching. We kind of wrote that down, and I've been trying to kind of keep it in mind. So Jalen said, "I encourage you to take deep breaths. I implore you to be part of the community, to continue to pull up seats to the table, to continue your involvement, to continue these conversations, to continue to be instrumental to the change in this world. And don't just be the change, let it change you. Evaluate your own personal biases and have conversations with other people and encourage dialogue that suggests change. Without hope, I am nothing."
Hello, everyone. This is Latrell Bright, theater maker, teacher, arts advocate. I'm moving forward with this, assuming the audience for this is predominantly white and folks already engaged in the CU theater community. So on Monday morning, I awoke with this idea, which I'll share at the end, but also with this urge to resign from the board of directors of the Station Theater. It was not the first morning I'd had the thought. Because it wasn't the first, I decided to sit down with myself and figure out why I was hanging on and what exactly I thought I was hanging on to. Now later that day, that Monday, I also received a request to share thoughts on See You at the Show. Thoughts on this moment that we find ourselves in, highly racially charged, as one of the few people of color serving as a theater artist in this theater community. So thank you, Eric and Linda, for this opportunity that I was a little bit hesitant about. I was reluctant. Bits and pieces of a rant meant for the board were churning in my brain and in my gut. And after an emotionally charged day, I thought it best to rest before committing. I did not rest. I barely slept. I don't imagine that's a rare thing for many people these days. And though, when considering this, though I'm never under any obligation to say yes when called upon as a Black person to fill a predominantly white space with some color, and though I've often said no, I also often wonder when I have said no, I've wondered, well, what happened? Who did they find? Anyone? And if they did find someone, how are they doing? I hope they are well. And so, to some extent, if not me, who, if not now, when, but if not me, it's going to be someone in this space filling it somehow. And anyone who knows me knows I'm a pretty blunt person. I mean, I already started off by telling you that I'm contemplating a resignation, but just to be clear about who I am, just really no time for pretense. The last 5 years on the board have been a front row seat to whiteness in theater and all its excuses, and so here are just some thoughts. They are my thoughts, not all Black people thoughts. They are not new thoughts. I present them here to you with less than 2 days to prepare, as scattered as my being is in this pandemic moment, in the form of what is essentially a journal collage kind of thing. So some things take different form. A theater manifesto, setting up the season. Number one, there must be a master narrative. 1A. Master narrative is defined as a narrative that is deeply embedded in a particular culture. We suggest whiteness. Number two, the master narrative must be white. Number three, whiteness must be at the center of all the stories. 3A, when it is not possible for whiteness to be at the center, then it is absolutely necessary that it somehow be present. Number four, when engaging with people of color narratives, hereinafter referred to as POC, when engaging with POC narratives, the representation on stage must still be white. 4A, when it is not possible for the representation in a POC narrative to be all white, then it must be predominantly white. 4B, when it is not possible for the representation in a POC narrative to be predominantly white, then we highly suggest you rethink the choice of narrative. Number five, when casting POC performers in a production, 10% POC is optimal. 5A, when it is not possible to limit POC performers in a white or POC narrative, then at the very least, the larger percentage must be white. 5B, when it is not possible for the overall percentage of white performers in a white or POC narrative to be at the very least a larger percent, then we highly suggest you rethink the choice of narrative. All theater companies across America are welcome to adopt this manifesto of season selection. It is easily administered, for it requires minimal effort, self-reflection, or growth. To ensure the manifesto is working on the behalf of whiteness, type out a list of all the production titles over the last 50 years and ensure that the creative lenses from which they sprung are predominantly white. This is key for a master. This manifesto may cause side effects, I've heard. Be on the lookout for nausea, vomiting, and overwhelming senses of guilt. If you are dissatisfied with this suggested manifesto, if you believe it to be unjust, if you believe it represents erasure, if it makes your stomach churn, please feel free to change it. The next section, power of story. So storytelling plays a substantial role in how we make sense of our world, how we view the biodiversity of the planet we all share, our fellow folk, how we view ourselves. Therefore, the stories we tell are vital to our collective sense of well-being, but also our individual sense of well-being. And so imagining a theater community where the majority of the stories are white, and I, as a Black person who exist in this theater community, imagine that, if you will. My reverence is for live performance storytelling. It is our modern day campfire where folk gather for spiritual, educational, and recreational purposes that stories provide, to weep and laugh together, to share in fright and awe together. It is ephemeral in its physical enactment before us. It is occasional in its ability to arise in memory. And we need art everywhere. The cornfields of central Illinois are abound with talented and spirited artists of all ethnic backgrounds, I believe. We make our home here. We make our art here. We are committed to this place. Now, what I just read after the manifesto part is from the This I Believe section on my website. My friend Kate Insolia, who I'm hoping some of you are familiar with, started Urbana Dance Company a couple of years back. And I have been serving as her artist in residence. So I have access to the studio space so many hours a week. It has been a haven for me and some others from overwhelming whiteness in theater making. On to the next. Oh, the name of this platform, See You at the Show, beckoned a question for me. See who at the show? So who are we seeing on stage, backstage, offstage, in the audience? Who is missing? The answer is no great mystery. We see white people, and hardly anyone else. Why is this, and how do white folks change that? That's a great question. I don't have the answers for that, but I believe, or I'm going to be hopeful, that you're going to find those answers. But one of the things that has come to my mind, I've been thinking a lot about Audre Lorde's book, Sister Outsider, and her essay, The Master's Tools Will Never Dismantle the Master's House. And I quote, "They may allow us temporarily to beat him at his own game, but they will never enable us to bring about genuine change. And this fact is only threatening to those women who still define the master's house as their only source of support." Here, I'm really thinking of this theater community as the master's house, my only source of kind of being a theater director in the world, if this is where I'm making my home and making my art. And so here's a tune that you will be familiar with and new lyrics that might burn a little. Master of the house, keeper of the gate, which play do I submit as not to seal my fate? My show can go first, though there's not much time. Who cares about the art if the slot is mine? Thank you, my dear sweet old master. Please, sir, can I have some more? Damn it, if I just said yes to the script they suggested to me, I'd be a shoo-in for sure. And I am a lucky one, one who does good work that is generally respected. In a larger city, there would be more choices. Theaters with different styles, different tastes, different flavors. To be honest, I cannot tell one theater from another here. Most people making the choices are white men. The folks who are most influential are white. The art I can or cannot make with some degree of support and infrastructure hinges on white men's sensibilities. And I'll end this part with Audre Lorde as well. This is an old and primary tool of all oppressors, to keep the oppressed occupied with the master's concerns. And that quote kind of serves as a doubling, wrapping up the previous section, me trying to figure out what to submit that they will like, and leading us into this next part, what am I doing here, which is just my bulleted list. It's a bulleted list for white folks, some questions and thoughts. It can be hard to trust white people. Ill intentions are easily hidden. White saviors, we don't need you to save us. We need you to save you. And I'm so happy that I see so many of you out on Facebook engaging with anti-racism resources for white people. And Surge, if you're not familiar with them, showing up for racial justice. It's a whole bunch of white people trying to figure out how to eradicate racism. We love it. Or my personal favorite here, the white person who usually does not say this out loud, but says quietly to themselves, I will help you, people of color, if I lead. And that's something we're trying to get away from too, not always having white people, white men at the helm of all the things. You do not know folks of color better than we know ourselves. The black folk you are close to, do you consider them safe black people? Do they ever challenge you or call you out? Do you ever brag about your commitment to diversity? These are all things that I've actually experienced. When you mess up, do you race to innocence or do you sit with the discomfort? Are the rules different for folks of color? Do they receive the same benefit of the doubt as their white counterparts? Do you like folks of color? Do you know many folks of color? Are you afraid of any folks of color? Would you audition for a show if the director was a person of color? Are you interested in folks of color, our lives, thoughts, dreams, fears? Do you read plays by folks of color? It is a privilege to know that each season there will be shows reflecting your existence. Imagine if none of them did. This next little section is for just thoughts for people of color that I'll share with all of you. I implore all folks of color engaged in theater communities to not be settled simply because your needs are met. I know there are benefits to being a token. I have been one. And historically, it has been a position that we've held for safety and status and security. But challenge the status quo for the benefit of all. If we lose something, opportunities cease, then folks will have revealed their true selves. Let the wolves remove their little sheep jumpsuit. We gotta be Harriet up in here. If that's what you're about, not all folks of color are. I said it, yes, not all folks of color are. The handful of folks of color consistently engaged with this theater community cannot make these kinds of systemic changes happen, especially on our own. Someone's gonna have to give, and we don't have it to give. It's not our work. I don't know why I called this the gathering storm. What is this? Oh, it's about gathering. So once we can gather again safely on the regular, I am hoping the energy I see with white theater folk on Facebook will translate into action in our theater community. What might that look like? I think white people have an opportunity in this moment of not running around producing shows to think deeply about what can be while engaging with the plethora of anti-racism resources emerging on Facebook and through orgs like Showing Up for Racial Justice. I'm hoping white theater artists find ways to gather together amongst yourselves and talk about what kind of local theater community you want this to become, if indeed you don't like what it is, because I imagine some people are just fine with the way things are. I'm hoping white theater artists read more plays and musicals by folks of color. I'm hoping that the desire to bring POC stories to life will come not from a place of commodification because you want to make a buck, or self-aggrandizing because you want to attach your name to it to feel special, but interest in who we are as human beings. And that's another thing I can't see. That's another thing that I struggle around trust with. What is the invitation to make art in our theater community? See, this is the third theater community I've lived in as an adult. And in San Antonio, a city with like 60% Latino, people said, oh, the Black and Latino folk won't show up, and that's why we don't do plays by Black. And so I started a Black theater company, and guess what? Black folks showed up, so did Latinx folks. I got to Memphis, Tennessee. Lots of Black folks in Memphis, Tennessee. And it was the same tired excuse. They won't show up, they won't, we don't, And Ekondayo Bandele started Hattie Lou Theater, and they just got a beautiful new building a few years back. CU is smaller, but I imagine there are all kinds of people who would love to be on stage, and more who would love to come see a reflection of themselves on stage in the regular, because theater does what the film and the television, the doodads in our hands and the videos can't do. So white people show up to auditions because they feel comfortable here. When they walk in the door, everyone's white, and half the times it's by personal invitation because white people know white people. So let's broaden those horizons. Then those stories of hunting for POC to be in your show because you don't know anybody, those tales will dissipate. And this would be new territory to many, and where, well, this, that's what I meant. This would be new territory to many. And where another space where I have some lack of trust, but I think this is the greatest. I caution white folks not to, in this moment, jump on the stories of others without doing some work. And not just the context of the play, of the stories themselves, but the work on yourselves. I'm not really sure how you're gonna show up trying to direct a play about Black or Latinx or Asian American people if you haven't thought about your own stuff. Our stories need diligent directors, not lazy ones. And I'm just gonna say this. I have an MFA in directing. I am not all for professionalization of all things, but I know what the work of a director is. I know what I believe it should be. And that is the kind of directing I would be expecting from any white person trying to put their stamp on a story of a person of color. Directors who are willing and prepared to engage in conversations about the social, political, and economic context of whatever situation those POC characters find themselves in, while guiding a person of color who's an actor to performance, not sending them off into the corner to direct themselves because you don't know how to talk about race. All right, anyhow. And as soon as the previous thought slid out of my brain, the next thought was, do I want white people who know nothing about anyone but white people to guide the telling of stories about folks of color? POC have spent, we have spent our entire lives learning about you, about white people. We've had to know about you to survive. Don't think you're going to catch up after reading a few books. Be humble and listen. This is going to be a journey for many of you who are just starting or wherever you are in that journey. It's not going to end. I don't think there's some great moment where you become so enlightened where it's not possible for you to engage in racist behavior ever again. Kind of like a man. If you're a man, you're gonna engage in sexist behavior. If you're able-bodied, I'm gonna engage in ableist behavior because they're peripheral to us. So we gotta kind of stay focused and be humble when people call us out on stuff. Then too, how do we make space for these imagined people of color who we'll be engaging with in our theater community in the future? I'm very hopeful here. Space to direct and guide stories to fruition through their own creative lens. Space to make choices about the stories of people of color and white people they deem valid for production. Space to fail and be given the benefit of the doubt and the second and third chances that we give the white boys. All right, people of color, POC directors are necessary. So POC are not always in service of and supporting a white director for a person of color story. That's not the goal, to have a whole bunch of advisors around so white people can stay in power. That's just not it. What are the invitations to communities to enter our theater spaces? Beyond the News Gazette and our Facebook page, a book that I will recommend is Invitation to the Party by Donna Walker Kuhn. She was audience development director at the Public for a while, and she wrote a book that's really lovely. And then once here, what kind of commitment will we make once, you know, folks of color have given their time and show up to support with their hard-earned dollars? So no one-offs, no taking the money and running. How do we reinvest in the entire community? How do we reinvest in more stories that can engage lots of different people? Please note, this will not necessarily be a rearrangement of everything as it is. To make space, some things will have to go. And I'm not sure what people are willing to give up. I'm not sure what are you willing to give up, white people? What are you willing to share? What are you willing to sacrifice, let go of, step aside for? Once a guy I knew was in therapy, and his therapist said to him, and he shared this with me, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And that's where we're at. So we're looking for change, I believe. I don't think this is going to be popular, but change up the season selection process. If all that emerges from it is more and more and more and more and more and more of the same, if only white people are submitting because only white people know and it's the same white people who know, then it stands to reason that they may only be interested in stories by white people about white people that them and all their white friends can be in again and again and again and again. And this doesn't let the committee off the hook. They always seem to be able to suggest other titles when they're not interested. This is the Station Theater specific. When they're not interested in the ones some folks have submitted. And again, here, I've been one of the lucky ones who did not just receive a no thank you. I received a, we don't like the things that you submitted, but would you be interested in this? So it stands to reason that the committee itself, whoever is on it, would need to be reading beyond whiteness. I woke up on Monday with this thought, and this is Station Theater specific as well. I would love to see a visual representation of where we really are in this diversity goal, and I'll use the Station Theater as an example. Take all the posters off the wall, except for those shows by people of color. And right off the top of my head, in the last 5 years, there's Sweat by Lynn Nottage, there's Marisol by Jose Rivera, there's Sleep Deprivation Chamber by Adrienne Kennedy, and there's Men on Boats by Jacqueline Backus. There might be another one that I'm missing, but in 5 years, we do 10 shows a year, that's 50 shows, ha ha ha. So take them down as a clear message that we're making space for all the stories that we have not been telling. If it wasn't written through the creative lens of a person of color, indigenous, trans, differently abled human, take it down. Replace them with empty frames. I don't care. We can call it what Susan Lloyd Parks refers to as the deep hole in history. Have a list of the full production history of all the shows on the wall. If the playwright was white, just regular type. If the playwright was male, underline the title. If the playwright was female, italicize the title. If the playwright is of the LGBTQ community, put an asterisk by it. If the playwright is from any other marginalized group, bold that sucker. Have a clear vision of where we've been. That way we can have a clear vision of where we're going and how we're doing, a visual representation. And that's hard because this would require the Station Theater and maybe other places too to claim the history, acknowledge it, own it, and make a bold public statement that this is not who we are going to be moving forward. I need the Station Theater to be not just an ally, but an accomplice in this anti-racism. And then clearly state the concern that has kind of been at the core of maintaining the status quo, this fear of losing loyal supporters. Someone is not going to give us money anymore. If people really make a change, someone's not going to give us money anymore. Someone's not going to provide free or reduced fee services anymore. Someone is not going to audition anymore. And those someones might even surprise us. Maybe they will. And that's all right. I would like to believe arts organizations in general, particularly humble ones like the Station Theater that own their own building, that are not trying to build some new multi-million dollar temple to tie us forever to charitable foundations. I would like to believe that a community of a lot of people who believe in a place and have a personal stake in it, if a lot of people could give a little, we would not be so dependent upon a few people who have a lot to give a lot. And finally, I am often embarrassed to serve this organization that rarely, rarely ever reflects my existence as a Black woman. To serve and not be represented and not see a clear way to that representation, that is the crux of my contemplation of resignation.
You are listening to WEFT.